So in the gospel lesson this morning, we find that God is thirsty. That phrase sounds a little odd to our ears. Christ is weary and he's tired. And so he begs for a drink from a Samaritan woman. The Alpha and Omega, everlasting to everlasting God, rules his creation. But the moment he takes on flesh and infiltrates this fallen world, Christ becomes the humble beggar. From birth in a filthy stable to being parched of thirst, our Lord knows what it's like to live in this world. And this is not the last time our Lord Jesus will crave a drink. Thirsty now, he will only continue his humble track to Calvary, where there on a Roman cross, Jesus will utter the words, "I thirst." The very flesh he takes is offered up as redemption for the world. And so here it is in John chapter 4. Jesus, true God and true man, as we confess in our beloved creeds, is thirsty, and so he requests a Samaritan woman to draw water. What do we take from this? A comparison can be made between Christ and his church. And when I say church, I'm talking about the people of God, the baptized faithful, the body of Christ, as Scripture calls her. Scripture also says the church will share in the sufferings of Jesus. As Jesus was poor and destitute in this world, his church too will be poor and destitute, and she will suffer want and need at the hands of the world. The world is fat with temporal wealth, as the church begs and scrapes for a few pennies. Jesus begs for a drink. The church too begs for just enough to get by. Church budgets, no matter how small, no matter how faithful, are barely met, if at all. The baptized labor and scrounge for food and drink. We work to acquire just enough to tend to the poor, keep the doors open and the lights on. I notice how hard you work, both in your daily vocations for the church. And you may think at times, is it worth it? It seems like we work so hard for so little in return. We get weary, we get thirsty in our pilgrimage in this life. But friends, when faith compels us to look to Christ, when we see Christ through the lens of God's holy word, we find our Savior suffering as we do. He is tempted as we are. And so the point is, we do not worship a God who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we serve a Lord who commands us to take up our cross and follow him. We follow our Lord. We follow our Lord by faith, and we do so burdened by sin. The church begs for a penny. She begs for a drink, while the world is flush with cash and possessions. The greedy hoard what they have been given, while God's people share in the sufferings of Jesus. But oh, how tempting it is. How tempting it is to abandon the Christian life and chase after the gods of this world. Do not be deceived. Greed is a sin that can keep people out of the kingdom of God. We like our stuff, our houses, our homes, our money, our drum sets. Creation is a wonderful gift. But when we worship creation instead of the Creator, there's the problem. We become idolaters as we cling ever so tightly to our possessions while giving scraps to God's church. And here's the scary part. God sees it. He knows it. He knows your sins just like he knew the sins of the Samaritan woman. God sees what we hoard. God sees the false gods who come into our lives, and he sees it when we chase after them as if they have something better to offer. God knows when we confess his saving name while coveting something else. He knew the sins of this woman. She's there in the middle of the day by herself drawing water. Now, why she wasn't drawing water in the cool of the morning with the other gals in town becomes evident when our Lord Jesus reveals to her her sins. "Call your husband," he says. "I don't have a husband." "Right you are. You've had five husbands, and now the one you have is not your husband." Five husbands and a live-in boyfriend. Her promiscuity is before God, who sees the sexually immoral. God sees those who refuse to testify to the world their love and commitment in holy matrimony, but instead they avoid that confession. They avoid seeking God's blessing and protection on their marriage to instead live in sin, as if God neither sees nor cares about their behavior. Newsflash. Christ cares about your behavior. And even though, friends, the world says, no such thing as idolatry, worship who you want. No such thing as sexual immorality. That's old school thinking. That's passé. That's ancient. Your God says otherwise. He knows it. He sees it. And the wages of sin is death. And so how do we respond to all of this? How do we respond knowing that God knows and sees even your secret sins? That God knows your record of debt? It's interesting, but Christ doesn't say to the woman, "Ah, if you knew who I was, you would be drawing water. If you knew who I was, you would rush off and come back with money." It's not what Jesus says. It's not how our Lord responds. Knowing God does not mean we now have to offer him our works to earn his love and grace. Instead, this is what Christ graciously says to this woman. "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The gift of God, living water. Friends, look at how Christ treats this sinner. He wants to give her something. Christ is there to give. And so we see quite a shift from Jesus being thirsty to now offering water that never dries up. We see Jesus go from begging for a drink to being the very drink we desperately need. As true man, Jesus thirsted, that is true. As true God, he needs nothing but has everything to give. There are so many things our bodies need, food and water among the basics. But here Jesus is saying, "I have water to give you that whoever drinks of it will never thirst again." That's a radical statement, hard to comprehend because we need water every day. But what Jesus is saying to us is, in him, you have everything you need. And by need, he is talking about the most important thing, your salvation, eternal life. That time when you will not have to beg, scrape, and borrow just to get by, but you will dine with our Lord at the marriage feast of the Lamb. Our Lord Jesus is talking about life free from the cursed effects and symptoms of sin, when you will live with a resurrected body sustained solely by your Lord and your God, without care and concern over earthly food and drink. This is the type of water that Christ gives you. Water that ushers you into his kingdom. Water that washes you of sin and purifies you before God. This was the water given to this Samaritan woman. This is the water that Christ gives you. So excited was this woman over this news, she leaves her pail, she leaves her water bucket, and chases after the town to tell them the good news. She had received something from God. She had received his only begotten Son. She had received the waters of eternal life. She received God's grace and his mercy, which is what you receive, people of God, when you come here in this place. It's not about Jacob's well. It's not about Jerusalem. It's not about being in a particular location. It is about being where Christ promises to be for you. And he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Do not worry. Do not fret about what you will eat, about what you will drink. As you labor, as you work, those thoughts are sure to come across your mind. Do not be afraid. And I say all of that, not because I know what tomorrow's going to bring. I most certainly do not. But I say to you, friends, do not worry, do not be afraid, do not fret. I say that because of God's gracious word, in which we hear the voice of our Lord say, I am living water. I am the water, the fountain that never goes dry. In a life of scorching heat, in a life of parched lips, as you fall before your God, wearied and burdened by your sin and the sins of others, God gives you his living water. God gives you his peace, his pardon, his love, and his forgiveness. And so it is. Jesus thirsted, and Jesus died, so that you will never thirst and never die, but live forever through him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.